It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Wednesday morning, December 7th. I'm Steve Cole, broadcasting live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District with News Director Gavin Dahl. Good morning again, Gavin.
Good morning, Steve. More than 20,000 acres of BLM lands go on the virtual auction block tomorrow for the agency's quarterly oil and gas lease sale. 31 parcels in western Colorado counties are up for bid, beginning online at 9 a.m. 350 Colorado has organized a protest at the BLM office in Denver tomorrow. KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh asked Director Micah Parkin about the group's concerns and how online auctions will impact protesting.
The concern is this is part of the federal fossil fuel leasing program, whereby the BLM takes parcels of land and actually auctions off at extremely low prices. Public lands that, you know, should be used for the public good, and they're auctioning them off to be developed by oil companies, which then in turn, you know, the fracking is well known to harm human health through contamination of air and water. There was a report that came out a couple of months ago from Oil Change International that very clearly showed that we cannot burn any new fossil fuels if we were to stay below 2 degrees Celsius global temperature rise, which is what we and other countries around the world agreed to at the Paris climate talks. And so for our president and our country to make those commitments and then turn around and continue leasing out public lands, it really makes no sense to make those promises and then do the complete opposite of what we know we must do, which is to begin to transition as rapidly as possible off of fossil fuels to clean energy. So we're coming together on Thursday to deliver a letter from organizations demanding that the Obama administration cease the auctioning of public lands for oil and gas drilling for both public health and also for our global climate.
Now, the leases that are going to be auctioned off on December 8th, there are 31 of them, and they're mostly in western Colorado. Some of them are in Garfield County. This auction is going to be online. Can you talk about these online auctions and how they will impact protesting?
Yes, you know, that's going to make it very difficult for the public to have any sort of ability to oversee the process or have any sort of a voice. It's really trying to silence people's ability for free speech. But even more concerning is that the Colorado BLM has proposed a new rule that would make protesting auctions a criminal offense. So it appears that they're trying to limit our constitutionally protected rights of free speech and assembly in order to promote this fossil fuel federal leasing program. So, I mean, this is extremely concerning, especially in a time of Standing Rock, when we have seen our government colluding with oil companies and protecting them while abusing the native people there with attack dogs and rubber bullets, you know, water cannons laced with mace and, you know, freezing temperatures. You know, that sort of collusion of local government and with government, with oil companies over the rights of its people. You know, what we're seeing now here in Colorado is quite reminiscent of that same sort of collusion that we're seeing in North Dakota.
These rules proposed by BLM Colorado are supplemental rules, and the comment period on these rules closed on the 5th of December. These rules don't just focus on protests at leasing auctions. They focus on all kinds of protests, you know, among other things. And you're right, they do make it a criminal offense subject to fines, trial, and up to a year in jail. And I'm wondering if 350 Colorado commented on these rules, and if so, what did you say?
Unfortunately, we only just learned of the comment period yesterday, and we didn't have time to comment on it. Ultimately, our constitutional rights are the first law of the land, and so, you know, if necessary, this is something that would have to be taken to court.
Micah Parkin, Executive Director of 350 Colorado, thanks very much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you so much for covering this.
What are the biggest issues facing Colorado right now? That's what KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh asked Wild and Scenic Film Fest goers Saturday. Here are some responses.
Lori Guevara Stone. I live in Carbondale, and I'm the writer for Rocky Mountain Institute.
What do you think are some of the biggest issues facing Colorado right now?
I think that oil and gas drilling is huge. I mean, this thing, retiring the leases, is great news, but there's still a lot more happening in Colorado, and there's so many places we need to protect.
What do you think state legislators can do about that?
Well, I think they need to protect important places and realize that we need to put more effort into renewable energy instead of fossil fuels. You know, fossil fuel development is like old school. It's a thing of the past, and we need to move on. And we live in the perfect place to reuse renewables, especially solar energy. So we need to start exploring that more instead.
I live here in Carbondale, actually over in Satank. My name's Donnie, and I work for SunSense Solar as a solar engineer.
What do you think are some of the biggest issues facing Colorado right now?
Really, it's just conservation in general. I mean, it's anything from water conservation to preserving, like we did with Thompson Divide. Having family over in Grand Junction, we see a lot of kind of the other side as far as wells and mining and I mean, really just kind of destroying the earth in a way, and lack of education for those types of things.
What do you think state legislators can do about that?
Listen.
I'm Frank Taverna. I live in Carbondale. I guess I'm in the real estate business. I've got to believe water is primary issue. How we're able to keep it and preserve it and conserve it.
What do you think state legislators can do about it?
Get outside, get on the rivers, get in the backcountry, see some of these precious areas, and then decide what we do with it and whether some of the development that's happening is worthwhile and going to be the best for our kids and grandkids.
Brianna Valerosi, I live here in Carbondale, Colorado, and my profession is wide-ranging through hospitality.
I'm Maria Sablejack, and I live in Carbondale, and I work at Crystal River Elementary School as a paraprofessional.
Water certainly, I think, is our biggest issue, not only statewide, but nationwide and globally.
Habitat preservation, wildlife conservation, and lack of education.
What can state legislators do about these issues?
Hear what the people have to say about these issues and connect with local communities on a small scale to understand what the needs are in every district and every part of the state, and then represent those on a greater scale statewide and nationwide so that we can protect places we care about.
Definitely listening to the grassroots organizations, bringing power to the people and rising up for what they believe in.
My name is Jason White. I live in Carbondale, and I'm a planner for RAFTA, Roaring Fork Transportation Authority. Biggest issues in Colorado are probably water, protecting water as far as drought goes, and keeping water on the western slope. Definitely responsible oil and gas drilling, of using the resource, yet also protecting the place where we live for the future.
What do you think state legislators can do about the issues you're concerned about right now?
Listen to their constituents, so in all the districts, pass bills and legislation that speaks to what everyone wants. And I think that the Thompson Divide was actually a good example of that, of the legislatures listened and came out to the Western Slope and saw what everyone was talking about. And so I think the legislature, it is just kind of a big political game at times. And I think that they have a lot of power to have leadership to stand up for the people that they represent.
Those were voices from the Wild and Scenic Film Fest in Carbondale this past weekend. For KDNK News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Colorado parents may not know their kids could be exposed to lead poisoning, Eric Gladys reports.
Many Colorado kids at higher risk for lead poisoning aren't being tested, according to analysis by the Colorado Trust. State guidelines call for doctors to test children in low-income households or who live in housing built before 1978 when lead paint was banned. Mike Van Dyke with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment says a simple blood test can show if kids have been exposed through chipped paint, water, or soil polluted by industry.
So that we can identify that and we could get them proper treatment, proper medical follow-up, as well as identify the source of the lead exposure so somebody else doesn't get exposed to it.
The analysis found 166,000 of Colorado's youngest kids in low-income families should be tested, and over 180,000 live in older homes. In 2014, an estimated 24,000 children were tested for lead, which even in small quantities can damage the brain and nervous system, slow growth, and lead to behavioral problems and lower IQs. A strong lead testing program was established in Leadville after the area was designated a Superfund site. Lake County nurse Lynn Nichols says many residents still don't know kids can be at risk just by playing outside in the dirt.
What can you do to protect these children from being exposed? It's such a simple process, but you got to do it. You got to be aware of it. You've got to be diligent. That's where you have to do the education piece. The education piece is first and foremost.
The analysis shows lead poisoning has become a structural barrier for kids' health and success, and that a disproportionate number at risk in the state are Hispanic. Van Dyke says while Colorado has lower exposure rates than some Rust Belt cities, the water crisis in Flint should be a wake-up call.
It takes an incident like Flint to remind people that we still have lead in our environment, and lead poisoning is not a disease of the past. We need to remember that kids can still be exposed to lead from lead that's been around for years.
More information about testing locations can be found on the Colorado Department of Public Health's website. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK. This story was originally reported by Kristen Jones for the Colorado Trust. Find out more at coloradotrust.org.
Lawmakers on the Joint Budget Committee have questions about how the state is managing wildlife programs and hunting and fishing permits. As Banta Berkland reports, the questions came up during a briefing for the Department of Natural Resources.
The department manages parks and wildlife and water issues. The annual briefing is part of the budget writing process. Democratic Budget Committee member Millie Hamner of Dillon is worried about a proposed predator management plan.
My constituents I'm hearing from are very concerned about reducing the cougar and black bear densities by killing the animals to see if that is going to solve the problem.
Republican Representative Don Corum of Montrose doesn't want to see hunting and fishing licenses go up.
Talked to a guy the other day that rents cabins out. He had 27 hunters. They got one elk, out-of-state hunters, and they're not much interested in coming back, especially with a possible increase in fees.
Another Republican is wondering if the state needs to improve how it manages wild horses so they don't interfere with grazing. These are just a few of the questions that the department will answer later at a more formal hearing. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.